For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. Let us pray. We do thank thee, Lord, for thy holy word. We pray that the same Holy Spirit who gave it will illumine our hearts and apply them. In Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. Title of the sermon is Why the Jews Are Lost, which I think is a title you will not hear in very many evangelical churches. It's astonishing how many born-again, Bible-believing Christians still believe that Jews are, by race, God's chosen people. That God saves by race instead of grace. Being God's chosen people was a status the Jews enjoyed in the Old Testament. What were they chosen for? Well, they weren't all chosen for salvation. Only a remnant was, always. Most of them were hypocrites, turned to idolatry again and again. But as a people, they were chosen that the holy among them would bring forth the scriptures. It would be a blessing to the whole world. And that through this people, God would bring forth the Savior of the world. They were chosen for that as well. So they were the chosen people in that sense. However, they ceased to be the chosen people at the resurrection of Christ and the Pentecost, where the kingdom of God came with power. The scriptures are here. The Messiah came. Everything they were chosen to do was fulfilled. Messiah came and they killed him. And since then, the chosen people have been Jew and Gentile who believe in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. When I say the Jews can't be saved, what I mean is a follower of the Jewish religion. I need to emphasize that because Jew means two different things. One thing Jew means is an ethnic group of Semites descended from Abraham. People who are Jews ethnically. Another meaning of Jew is a follower of the Jewish religion, whether an ethnic Jew or many people, not many people, there are people who follow the Jewish religion who aren't Jews. Elizabeth Taylor was born an English Protestant. She converted to Judaism. Sammy Davis Jr., a black American actor, converted to Judaism. I think it's something about Hollywood that does this. So they're followers of the Jewish religion, which means they cannot be saved, whether they're ethnic Jews or Gentiles who follow the Jewish religion. Now, in these first three chapters of Romans, Paul's purpose is to prove that all the world is guilty before God. The Jew, the Gentile, the barbarian, the bond, the free, all were sinners, born into a cursed world with a sinful nature and lost, with Christ the only way to salvation and freedom from the devil. First we saw, he demonstrated that the heathen are lost. They have a revelation of the true God in nature. And they suppress the revelation. St. Paul says, knowing God, they glorified him not as God. Yeah, they know God. That's why they turn to idols. They don't like him. They have the truth, and they change it for a lie. Furthermore, they sin against the law of God. They don't have it in written form. They have it in their hearts. Paul says this very clearly. So the heathen are not innocent because they haven't heard, didn't get the chance. They're rebels against God. They're allies of the devil. They can't possibly be saved because they haven't received as much as light as we have. They have enough light to make them guilty, as Paul says. Next, Paul proved that the moralists are lost. No matter how upright, godly, People live, they are still sinners and lost without Christ. So Paul proves that. And today Paul is going to prove that the Jews are lost. Now the Jews were confident that they couldn't be lost. After all, they're the chosen people. They're Jews. That automatically makes them something special. Here, objects of God's special favor. Why do they need a Savior? Paul's going to prove that the followers of the Jewish religion is just as lost as a follower of the heathen religion. The only difference being he's far more guilty because he sins against greater light. The chosen people are those whom God chose to be saved, whether Jew or Gentile. St. Paul says in Ephesians, one new man, which is the Christian, neither Jew nor Gentile. Now let's begin with verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God. The Jews regarded being called a Jew a great privilege, one that set them apart as superior to all other people. But the Bible does not say that they are a superior people, no matter how many evangelicals may believe they are. St. John says that anyone who denies that Jesus is Messiah is Antichrist. It's the only place in the Bible the word Antichrist appears. No, it's not in Revelation. It's in St. John's first epistle, chapter 2. Anyone who denies that Jesus is a Messiah, that's followers of the Jewish religion, isn't it? The one thing the Jews in Israel are certain of is Jesus is not Messiah. They're Antichrist. The book of Revelation, Christ says, I know the blasphemy of those who call themselves Jews that are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Well, that's politically incorrect, isn't it? I mean, the people in the synagogues are seeking God in their own way. Well, it says that the synagogues are synagogues of Satan. The mosques are mosques of Satan. Many Christian churches are Christian churches of Satan. Christian tour agencies offer trips to the Holy Land. Now, if you ever get a chance to go to Israel, go to Jerusalem, I recommend doing it. I've been there. I thought it was very educational. But Israel is no more holy than Syria. Nothing holy about Israel. The book of Revelation, it says Jerusalem. It doesn't call it the holy city. It says the Lord, the city where our Lord was crucified is spiritually Sodom and Egypt. Oh, we'll go to the Holy Land and see the Holy City. What? So the Jew, he says, boasts of God, rests in the law. They think having God's law makes them a child of God. But the law doesn't save. It only shows us we're sinners. And after we're saved, shows us how to live. They thought they were God's special people, no matter how they lived, no matter what their character was. They're Jews. They're God's favored people. He makes his boast of God. It was to this people that God revealed himself in a special way in the Old Testament times, which was a great privilege. A great privilege that brought great obligation to this God. And knowest his will and approvest of things that are more excellent, being instructed out of his law. Being instructed out of the law, knowing God's will, those are indeed great privileges. But if they're guilty of breaking that law and rejecting the Messiah, they're even more guilty than the heathen. Knowing God's will and not doing it only increases their obligation and guilt. Thou art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the and a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth of the law. That was the effect this special advantage had on the Jews. They regarded themselves as being greatly superior to all other people because of their possession of the law. They looked upon themselves as being qualified to be instructors of the whole world. Paul is being somewhat sarcastic here. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Jews proudly condemn the sins of the heathen. But they're guilty of the same sins themselves. Thievery was common among the Jews, as it is among all people. They know God's law, and they preach that a man should not steal, but listen to what it says in Psalm 50. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consented with him. They take part in thievery. Or in St. Matthew 23, our Lord says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Oh, they're religious, all right, while they're stealing from a widow. Contemning sins in others that you do yourself increases your guilt. Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? You are proud of teaching the seventh commandment, condemning adultery, but here the Lord says in Jeremiah of the Jews, they committed adultery and assembled themselves as troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. So knowing that stealing and adultery are wrong and then doing it only increases guilt. Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? He rightly says they abhor idols. Now, for most of the history of Israel, they were idolaters all the time. Even in the Exodus, he ended up worshiping a golden calf. Again and again and again, they turned to idols. Finally, God punished them by enslaving them in Babylon for 70 years. When they returned from Babylon, they never again went back to idolatry. But they did commit sacrilege. Remember what Jesus said they did to the temple? You've made my father's house a den of thieves. What Malachi says, they rob God, that's sacrilege. Will a man rob God? That ye've robbed thee. But you see, where have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Of course, that could be said of many Christians today. I don't think they take it seriously. What, God says I'm robbing him? So what? Your salary is $2,000. A month, so you give a tithe of $200. No, I'm going to give $100. Okay, so I'm going to rob God of $100. I didn't say it, he did. He says, you've robbed me. That's my money. You're keeping. That's sacrilege. I could point out here, just about everything Paul is saying to the Jews is also true of the superficial, nominal Christian. They also preach against things that they do themselves. They rob God, condemn in others what they themselves do, and think they're accepted because they belong to the people of God. They belong to a church. Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed through the Gentiles, among the Gentiles, through you, as it is written. They boasted of having the law, but they so disregarded its precepts as to bring disgrace upon their religion and upon their God. The way you live reflects on your religion and your God. The Jewish historian Josephus wrote of a Jewish teacher in Rome in AD 19, who was teaching the Romans the Jewish religion and gathering Roman converts to Judaism. One such convert was a wealthy Roman lady, and he convinced her to make a donation of a small fortune to the temple in Jerusalem, which she did. But then he kept the money. The Emperor Tiberius heard about it, and he expelled all the Jews from Rome. What kind of religion is this? What kind of God is this would have his disciples do such things? Christians can bring disrespect upon our God and religion too. We should remember St. Paul says, we're living epistles of Jesus Christ, known and read of all men. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. He showed in the first half of the chapter that God will judge the Jew and the Gentile according to their works, according to his law. That's why they need a Savior. This means that Jew and Gentile are both in danger of the same damnation. But the Jews didn't believe that. We're the people of God. We're circumcised. The Jews believed they were saved by circumcision. Here's what some of the famous Jewish rabbis wrote. Our rabbis have said that no circumcised man will go to hell. Another one, circumcision saves from hell. Here's another one. God swore to Abraham that no one who is circumcised should be sent to hell. This is what the Jews believe, no matter how they lived. Abraham sits before the gate of hell and does not allow that any circumcised Israelite should enter there. Well, that's essentially what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. Water baptism actually cleanses from original sin. You may spend a long time in purgatory, but you'll end up in heaven if you've been baptized. When the Jewish Old Testament church lost its spirituality, they descended to mechanical things like this, superficial things, external things to save them, rites. And the Roman church did the same thing. Baptism doesn't save any more than circumcision saves. Hell is full today of circumcised Jews and baptized Christians. The cleansing of the heart and regeneration is the baptism that saves. When we confess every Lord's Day that we believe in one baptism for the remission of sins, we're not talking about water baptism. We're talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit that cleanses the heart. So we repent and believe in Christ. So circumcision doesn't save. Abraham was saved, and he's going to talk about this later in this book. He was saved, but he wasn't circumcised. He was saved as a Gentile, really. He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't circumcised. But he was saved, justified by faith. Then he was given the mark of circumcision as a mark of his faith. That's Romans 4. Therefore, if the uncircumcised keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee who by the letter in circumcision doth transgress the law? Now we have to understand what Paul's doing here. He's explicitly teaching here that there is none righteous, no, not one. All the world is guilty before God. So he's not intimating that the Gentiles actually keep the law or fulfill it. They may fulfill part of it by common grace, but nobody fulfills it but Christ. So this is a hypothetical statement. It's only meant that circumcision, like baptism, can't be the ground of salvation. Obedience is. And if you don't have the obedience, you need Christ to obey the law for you. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. He's not a Christian who's a one outwardly, but one inwardly. If the heart isn't changed, the person's lost, whether he's a Jew or a Gentile, a moralist, heathen. You're one of the chosen people, but not because of outward things. You belong to a true church, you're baptized. Baptism, church membership, the Lord's Supper are divine ordinances, very important, but they don't save. The true believer is a member of the chosen people. His heart's been cleansed by faith in Jesus Christ, no matter what tribe or people he comes from. Amen. How amazing, Lord, that we should be chosen to love and believe in Jesus and be saved. When it pleases thee to pass by multitudes and leave them in the sin which they love and enjoy. We pray that we may be truly grateful and show our gratitude by ever more faithful service to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen.